Hi, this is Candace Michelle, and you're listening to KCIW, your community radio station. You know, we're in the midst of a pretty strange time. For most, probably all of us, our lives have been severely disrupted. The economy is in tatters, and the acrimony between the left and the right has become so intense that civility and empathy seem to no longer have a place in our interactions with each other. The great divide between us and them seems to just keep growing wider, fueled by anger and fear on both sides. The logical result is a community further divided, further alienated from anyone not in our own tribe, and increasingly fragile. We're each convinced that our perception of reality is the truth, and therefore anyone who doesn't share it is just plain wrong. But like a giant beach ball made up of unlimited slices of color, what you see all depends on where you're standing. My hope is that this show can help all of us see the other colors by first being willing to entertain the possibility that they exist and learn that there might be some worth in listening to a perspective different than our own. I believe that willingness to include all of us in the discussion will lead to a stronger, more resilient community, something we all want and need. Please join me for my conversations with Brookings Mayor Jake Pieper, a new series called Building Bridges. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Building Bridges. This is a show that I do every week with Brookings Mayor Jake Pieper that started from us deciding to build a couple of bridges of our own. What's grown out is the realization that we actually like each other, I think, Jake, right? I have to check, right? But that does continue to be a surprise to me, a very pleasant surprise. And one of the things that I've noticed is how good it feels to not be angry every time I see your face.
Every time you see my face, huh?
I did used to be angry when I'd see your face. It would immediately make me angry. Right? I mean, how powerful is that?
That's something. Right? I didn't realize I had that effect on people.
I know. And I know that it's probably been said many times by many people better at expressing themselves than me. But the storing up of anger and resentment is just exhausting. And I find that it eats away at my insides. So I figure I've just increased my life expectancy by letting go of all that crap. And you know what's funny? At least half of the reason I was so pissed off with you was because I thought I knew what you were thinking. When in fact, I really only knew what you were saying and probably didn't even know what you meant by that. So if I can remember only one thing, it's that I have no idea what somebody else is thinking, even when I think I do. I think that's the deal. To remember, right?
Yeah, that's the deal.
It's so easy to forget. You know, you're talking to somebody, and I mean, it's at least better if you're face-to-face because you can see their face, you know, you can see if they're smiling or whatever. But you're talking to somebody and they say something and it's like, you think, oh, I know what they meant by that, and it wasn't good. And that wasn't what they meant at all.
Right? At all. Yeah.
No, at all. Yeah. It's pretty crazy. So before we get into this delightful time that we're going to have today, I just want to remind our listeners that we are not in our handy dandy studio. And what that means is that the sound quality sometimes gets a little funky, and it appears to be my microphone more often than Jake's, and don't ask me why about that. It's annoying, but don't ask me why. So if you hear, you know, the microphone kind of going, whoa, just bear with us. It'll be back to normal in another second or two. So how are you doing, Jake?
I'm doing pretty well, as well as any of us here could be doing with ash,
right?
ash falling and black skies,
very strange sky color, and you know,
yeah.
But you at least are coming back from a delightful weekend in the woods, with your sweetie, right?
I know, with my sweetheart, what a good time.
That was just, you know, the what you said on your chat last night was, it was just delightful. It really was kind of a love song to your wife.
It was nice. I wasn't totally sure what exactly I was going to say. But then I started and it just started coming. And the craziest thing about all that is it's all true. I mean, I was being honest. It's all true. But what a great time. I'm glad we got it last weekend. Yeah.
Exactly. Because you never know if the woods is even going to be there.
Right.
Just don't know. But it sounds like you really have a most amazing relationship. And I know that I had put some comment in there about it, you know, not being that it's sort of rare.
Rare.
You said you had hoped not, but I have to tell you that I've been on the planet a lot of years. I'm just saying, it's pretty rare to find a couple that after 18 years still feels like that about each other.
More. I shouldn't have been surprised, because I realize that it is fairly rare.
And that you actually both feel that way, right?
I mean, I'm counting on that. She tells me she does. she tells me.
She's lying to you, I don't know. But seriously, that's pretty special.
Fortunate, very fortunate.
So one of the things that you said was that you achieved some clarity while you were out there. And I love that word, number one, because, you know, who doesn't want clarity?
Oh, yeah.
But can you tell me about that? Like, what did that mean to you?
So, yeah, moments of clarity, or a moment of clarity and clarity of mind, typically for, you know, personally, it comes usually after exercise. You know, I need to be fairly tired, right? And it would typically for me, being one of my happy places, like out in the woods or on top of a mountain or something. And it's just in my world, it's a kind of a prayerful, meditative state. And a lot of kind of the periphery kind of white noise going on in the brain ceases, and you can have, you know, singular thoughts and just clarity, like, you know, which something abnormal, something I wouldn't always have.
And wonderful.
Yeah, it's a great time. And I know, I mean, I'm sure you've, you know, experienced something similar. And it's just, yeah, a moment of clarity. Some people, that's when they choose their lottery numbers, or, you know.
Yeah. Or wonder if it's time to divorce your current husband.
Yeah. We won't call it. Or that, I guess. Okay. Yeah.
No, my place is the beach. You know, if I'm next to the ocean, there is just something about that, you know, and it really was one of the times I was in the midst of a very painful divorce, and walking on the beach and just communicating with the powers that be, it was so healing. It just got me centered, so that I actually felt like I could navigate through the time rather than being thrown against the rocks, kind of thing.
So. Yeah. Well, and moments of pain bring it, for sure.
Yep.
You can, when you're really just put out and really kind of at the end of your rope, you know, sort of deal.
Yep.
Yeah. It's nice. It's nice, right?
I love it.
I know.
I love it. I wish it would happen more frequently.
I know. Right. Just like
every day. That would be okay every day.
just leave the switch on, you know. Yeah. That's right? What I would hope for.
Right.
But it wouldn't be as special.
No, I know. And the specialness of it is part of it. You know, that when that light bulb goes on and you just go, oh, right.
Yeah.
Now I understand it. Yeah, it's pretty good stuff. So I'm glad to see that the two demonstrations that went on this past weekend did not escalate. That was excellent news.
Yeah, nothing serious, you know. Nothing
some name calling, some shouting, some, you know, stuff like that, which is always unfortunate, but...
But can be expected, right? I mean, it literally can be expected. So I was happy, you know, and I've seen some things. A lot of people enjoyed themselves and, you know, were glad they went and thought it a successful event. So, yeah, I'm happy.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. I'm happy. And it did not become that thing that we all go, oh, Brookings. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's where blah, 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 blah happened, you know?
Yeah. No arrests. No
Which
real
is
police.
Great.
Yeah.
I mean, that's great. Really, let's celebrate. That's good stuff. Because the reality is that both sides, you know, people on both sides of the street are our neighbors.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I see people in Freddy's all the time.
All the time.
That were on both sides of the street. You know, people go to church with each other and, you know, I mean, it's walking at the beach, you know, you run into people. I mean, come on. We're a very small community.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to be angry every time you see somebody's face or anything.
Exactly.
I mean, come on.
I can testify about that. You don't want to be.
Oh, man.
No, you don't, though, you know, and I think that, you know, one of the things that just having these conversations with you underscores for me is that we have so much in common that, you know, the stuff that we don't have in common, we can probably find ways to navigate it. And, you know, I read the posts on Facebook, right? And I listen to what some of the comments are from the right side, the right wing side.
I thought you meant like correct.
No, that's not what I meant.
I know, I'm just
kidding. And you knew that.
That's just a little poke. That's just a little friendly poke.
I know. And there was no ouch to it. So there we go.
All right, good.
But those remarks about, you know, what the liberal left is bringing this country to, you know, communism. It's like, seriously? You can't be serious. You really think that's what the liberal left wants is communism? I mean, that was the 1950s, people. We're a little
while ago.
Down the road here, you know? And I'm sure that you see the same stuff coming from the left about the right, you know?
Yeah.
And so you kind of go, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you just make that up?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not only necessarily right and left, but, you know, there's different, I know most of the topics of the day will get divided between those two camps, but
like there are a lot of camps.
With different issues, you know, the teams can kind of change up sometimes, right?
Yep.
I hear it from both sides. It's, you know, glaringly obvious sometimes. It's a little more subtle sometimes. But it's,
you know,
there.
If you were actually in a conversation, right? If there was that ability to actually have a conversation rather than just kind of be in an echo chamber, you know, with people who agree with you or whatever, you could say, but that's not the way. I mean, I can't speak for everybody on the left side, right? But I'm certainly on the left side and I don't want communism.
Right.
I mean, that's like preposterous, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know anybody who does, right? None of my friends want that.
That's interesting. Yeah.
None of them.
Yeah. Well, boy, yeah, we could go, we could choose a few examples of things like that, you know, and yeah. it's like, well, you know, they're head scratchers. Like
they are.
To the point of, you know, that's crazy to say something like that. That's crazy. Right. So
right.
Communist, that's crazy.
Right.
You know, white supremacist, what?
Right.
What? You know, come on. That's crazy. You know?
Yes.
So it'd be funnier if it wasn't sad.
Exactly. It's not really funny. Ha ha. It's funny, tragic. Because it's like, really, can we not just get past the labels? Can we not just get past the pigeonholing? And, you know, when somebody starts calling all Republicans white supremacists, could we stop, A, just stop doing that? Because, B, it's not true. And C, it's not useful.
Right.
So, you know, can we just stop doing that? And I evidently not yet.
Yeah. It's, you know, we communicate to each other with jabs and memes and catchphrases that you can write on a sign. You know, that's how we're communicating.
And it's a poor substitute. Yeah. I mean, really. Because somebody said it on Facebook, who got their minds changed by?
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's always a good question.
Right? Yeah. not too many people, I think, got their minds changed. In fact, if anything, I would think that more people probably dug their heels in farther.
Yeah, it usually just reinforces our own, you know, our own beliefs.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, I'm sure there were plenty of people at that rally that weren't out there trying to change anyone's mind or to try to show anyone the right path or anything. You know, they're there celebrating being amongst, you know,
their tribe.
Their tribe, fellow thinkers, you know.
Yep.
So I don't know.
And that's fine. I mean,
it is. Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
It just seems like can't we celebrate that without then demonizing the other side? You know, can't we celebrate being in our tribe without demonizing the next door neighbor tribe? Because it just seems like, I mean, let's assume that we have a Chetco bar fire again.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you'll see all of a sudden, you know, so much of that stuff just doesn't even come up. It just doesn't matter anymore because we have a collective issue that we need to face right now. And it's an emergency.
Right.
And, you know, as horrible as emergencies like that are, and as horrible as the Chetco bar fire is or was, you know, you can see some pretty amazing things during a disaster like that. You can see the best in people. You can see some incredibly gifted people just rise to the top and rise to the occasion and people truly just kind of be neighbors and set everything else aside, you know?
Yep.
It's remarkable.
It lasted for about as long as the imminent threat.
Well, yeah. And yeah, I know.
Yeah.
As long as like when it comes time to do something, to get something done, or when the table is set for a meeting of decision makers, you know, as long as that style of communication and everything doesn't have a seat at the big boy table, you know, at the adult table.
Right.
That's okay on the sidewalk, you know, but that line of thinking and, you know, like gotcha sort of politics and speaking in just hyperbole and catchphrases and buzzwords, that just needs to stay at rallies, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be nice if it didn't stay anywhere. But, right. Well, because it's just not useful. I mean, it gives you, because I've been in, you know, demonstrations and stuff, and it gives you a sense of power, you know, to be yelling and screaming and all of that stuff. It gives you a sense of power. And I'm not saying that it doesn't actually help to accomplish stuff, because clearly demonstrations have been used, you know, for at least 100 years
mm-hmm.
to effect change. Yeah. And it works. I mean, it does work. It's just that, you know, all of the anger and the angst and all of that stuff just, I mean, it kind of clouds your thinking, so that if something happens that kind of changes the picture, if your thinking is still all clouded by the emotions, you don't actually see what's happening clearly and able to adjust.
Yep. Yep. Can't see, can't really hear, mm-mm. you know, can't mm-mm. hear anything.
No, no. And it's, you know, it's unfortunate. So that, of course, brings us to the topic of the day, especially for those of us who have PTSD from the Chetco bar fire. How about those skies out there?
Man.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Tough, right? Yeah. It gets everyone in just in a funk, you know?
Wow. Wow.
Yep. Yep. Everybody gets a little, you know, it just starts getting dicey. And, people's anxiety levels up, and so
start to ratchet up.
Ratchet up, you know. And it's and it's not like it's been totally smooth sailing up to this point, you know. So people are already a little wiry, and it's amazing. Even just being around town, going to the store, standing in line at a gas station, you just get it. You know, you get the anxiety of everybody.
Well, the night before last, I was letting my dog out, and it was like midnight, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning, and I could smell the smoke. We couldn't see it yet, but I could smell it. And it was like almost instantaneously, I was back at the bar fire.
Yeah. You know,
and I wasn't even that impacted by the Chetco bar fire. I mean, I live pretty close to the ocean here, and, you know, now,
you'd be one of the last to burn. I mean, if it really got gnarly,
exactly. But I had friends who got evacuated, and they came and stayed with us and stuff. So, I mean, I was glued to my computer during that whole Chetco bar fire, because that was the only place we could get information.
Yeah,
that was where the updates were showing up. Was on Facebook, for heaven's sake. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
how crazy is that? Mm. But that was what it was. And so, you know, I'd see updates coming across, and I'd repost them to my page and the KCIW page. And I mean, it was like, it was, so I could feel that all starting again.
Yeah. Bubbling back to the surface.
Yeah. And then looking at the sky, I mean, the color of that sky was orange.
Pretty gnarly.
It was. And the sun, I mean, you could kind of see a little dot up there that was more orange. So you kind of had a sense that that was the sun. But even that disappeared after a while. I mean, it was.
Yeah.
Yikes.
It brought the memories back. Brought memories back for sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing is like the more fires that are current, you know, the less like resources there are to spread around. Right.
Yes.
And if something happens, you know, it's the likelihood of you getting the A team to come in and fight your fire, you know, you could be
busy.
You could be scraping off the bottom of the barrel, you know?
Yes. Exactly.
So,
I was watching a video that somebody was shooting last night, and it was on Facebook or YouTube somewhere. And he was by the Medford Mall, and there was and there was a fire there. And he was saying, yeah, it's been 20 minutes since we called this in.
Wow. And
there's no fire department here at all.
Yeah.
Well, they were busy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There was nobody, you know, and he was saying, if somebody would just give me a hose, you know, right? Just give me a hose. I'll fight this, you know? But there was nobody there to give him a hose. There was no fire truck. There was no, you know, and you're right. I mean, that's what happens.
Man, those poor folks over there, that would just be a nightmare. Just a nightmare. An absolute nightmare.
And I'm thinking, especially at night.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right? Are you kidding me?
You can't see. The smoke makes any visibility you might have had impossible.
Yep.
And what about if you have animals? You know, I'm thinking about the cows and the horses and the goats and the sheep and the, you know, so you've got to get them to safety somehow. And how do you do all of that?
Yeah.
Fire coming at you.
Yeah. Crazy. And then y'all load up in the car and drive a mile and a half and get stopped, you know, and it's just a standstill in the road and there's a fire going on. Yeah.
Right.
You know,
I know.
Yeah.
I know they were saying, you know, we're gridlocked and we can't get out.
Yeah. And just pure pandemonium, you know, man. When I think about it, I can hear my kids in the back of the car screaming and hollering and crying and just, you know, just absolute pandemonium, not knowing where you're going, not really even knowing where the fire is, you know, you'd hear, and you know, when something like that happens, you know, there's a flood of information because of the day and age that we live in. And, you know, some of it might be true, you know, and holy smokes, can you imagine? Mm-hmm. Can you imagine? That'd be tough.
No, it would. It would be bad. And I remember, you know, looking at the video that they made about the fire in Paradise. And, you know, those people were lined up in their cars trying to get out and never made it.
Yeah.
Because they were cut off. I mean, there was nothing they could do.
Yeah. So you brought up KCIW and, you know, I know we're working on that.
Yeah, right, we are. We're in negotiations at this point with the city in to exchange being on the tower for giving the emergency personnel at the city and whoever else shows up at the emergency operations center the ability to come in on our feed, interrupt our feed for any disaster information. So, you know, if there was if that fire decides to come souther than the tunnel and decides to come over and see us, we could have somebody interrupting our broadcast and saying, you know, folks, you know, you're at a stage two right now. So get everything packed up. And by the way, it looks like the fire's coming from the south. So the way out is to the north.
Yep. Yeah. You guys need to stay there, you know, and I mean, obviously I only represent my own opinion, but I want you there and I think we can work it out. I think we need to. I think it's a must for the city.
Well, I was really hoping that we were actually not going to get to this place this year where we actually have a fire within 30 miles of us. And I mean, who wants a disaster? You know, wants one? Not me. I don't want to have to go through that again. But in the event that we have one, I just think that, you know, being able to broadcast over the radio, people will be in their cars trying to get out and will have their radios on theoretically and, you know, they can get updates. I mean, that seems like the significantly important step to take.
Yeah, Well, and a lot of bad things can happen, and a lot of stuff can be broken. But that EOC and that tower, you know, that tower is still going to be standing, and there's still going to be power on there.
Everything else can go away.
Everything else can go away, but that'll stay. And as you know, as long as you have a radio, you can hear somebody talking, telling you what you need to do.
I'm going to assume that we've made some kind of progress in the last 3 years in terms of a plan for if the fire actually does start encroaching. Like, is there a plan? Is that a crazy question?
A plan for
evacuation.
An evacuation plan.
Yeah. I'm thinking, you know?
Yeah, I would imagine. I don't know if it's like spec'd out. I wonder if the county has it spec'd out to the point of...
Because I would think
there's only a couple of...
Department, right?
It is, Office of Emergency Management.
Right.
The sheriff. Right. I mean, there's only a couple ways out of here. So, you know, I mean, it's...
I've noticed that.
Yeah.
You either go north or you go south.
Yeah.
Can't really go east very far.
Yeah, not too far. Not too far, no. Yeah.
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 Yeah. And that is a little worrisome, isn't it?
A little bit. I mean, it seems, you're kind of, you know, being stuck. I don't like the idea, the prospect of being stuck.
No, you know? I don't either.
I don't like that. Mm-hmm. But I would like to think that the community is a little better prepared. I mean, I am, you know, I've been through one before, right? Just a few years ago. So, I mean, just personally speaking, well, and I was mayor through one. So, I have that experience. You have that experience. A lot of folks that,
I do actually have a go bag.
Do you? Yeah. Good.
Yeah. I mean, it's not. Well, I think the last time I looked at it was probably 2 years ago. So it's got a big layer of dust on it.
But
I think there are important things in it, like Band-Aids or water or something.
You got to do a little inventory. Yeah, a little inventory
once a year. Exactly. I know. I heard that it was south of the tunnel that it was on the south side of the tunnel. And So I said to my husband, I think I might be needing to check the go bag and just make sure. I mean, we don't have any, you know, advisories at this point other than, you know, bad air, but, you know, just in case.
Well, when it gets on our side of the tunnel, you know, that's like backyard. So
that's what I think too.
Yeah. That's our place, you know, that's our backyard.
Yep. Yep. And we're dry. I mean,
dry.
Yeah. I mean, the fog that just rolled in a couple of hours ago is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, where did that come from?
Yeah. I know. And I had to like sniff and look at it for a while to make sure it wasn't smoke.
I know.
I was like, no, that's fog.
I know.
That's fog.
I know.
And we do have a little rain in the forecast first part of the week, you know. So, I mean, hopefully it actually rains. Hopefully it comes to fruition. But dry. And it was even, so I was out in the, you know, rogue Siskiyou Forest over the weekend. And it was drier than when I was there a week and a half prior. You know, everything. All like the fern, you know, fern ground cover.
Yes.
They were still green a couple weeks ago. I mean, everything was pretty dry, but the fern
was not now.
They're not now. No, they're brown and man, it wouldn't take much at all. It wouldn't take much at all. And there's still a lot to burn. There's still a lot to burn. You know, I think like, well, you know, that forest burned already. How could it burn again? Well, now there's lots to burn still. Lots to burn.
Well, there's lots that grows too. You know, it's not like everything stops growing just because there's a fire comes through it. You know, there's lots of undergrowth that.
Oh yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It grows up fast.
Yeah. 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 It's a little bit scary. I'm not thrilled with it. It's like really 2020.
Oh
really?
Man, I know. Yeah.
Can you just stop throwing stuff at us? Can you just stop? I mean, really, haven't you done enough? Isn't it enough? Can't we just say, let's just have a little hiatus here for the last 4 months, okay?
Yeah.
Just take a little break.
Yeah. It seems like the last few years have just been, I don't even know what to call it, just crazy, just rough, you know? It just seems like the world has changed. And I mean, at least my world, our world has changed. The last presidential election, just a lot of things happened with that, and that brought in a lot of aspects that it changed a lot, it seems to me.
I agree. And it may very well be that all of it was already still there.
Oh yeah. But it could be.
I didn't see it. You know, I was pretty oblivious to a lot of the ugliness. I just didn't see it. You know, I had no reason to see it. You know, my life was pretty, pretty great right here in Brookings, Oregon.
Yeah.
And,
little Brookings.
Yeah. And, you know, I got along with just about everybody. And, you know, there were a couple of people that I kind of gave stink eye to if I saw them cross the street, but not many, not many.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I could be friends with people who differed from me politically. I mean, there was a group of six of us, three couples, that we'd get together every Friday night. And we'd first of all go out to dinner, and then we'd go to one of our houses and play dominoes, Mexican grain dominoes.
Mm-hmm.
So fun. I mean, every week we did that. And five of them were Republicans. And then there was me.
Yeah.
But very seldom did we actually talk politics. And if we did, there was probably mostly bashing going on, you know, from five people. And I just didn't have anything to say. I mean, I didn't feel like I had to defend anything. It was, you know, fine. You've got your opinion, and that's fine. And we were friends. I mean, it was, you know, it was delightful. And I can't imagine doing that now.
No. Yeah, probably not. I know. I miss like being able to chide people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There was more of that then. Like, you could throw little spears, you know, you could chide each other, and it wasn't a stinking death match.
No.
You know?
No. In fact, I remember doing that with your dad. And
chiding,
it was great. We'd trade it back and forth, and it was great. It was, neither one of us took the other seriously.
Mm-hmm.
I think. I mean, you know, well, I didn't take him seriously, so I don't know if he took me seriously, but I don't think so. I mean, he was just poking me, you know, just
and playful.
And I was just poking him back. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it was, you know, it was actually fun. It was so.
But yeah, the times have changed, and definitely 2020 has just really been quite a year, man. Holy smokes. I mean,
and it ain't over.
No.
You know? I mean, that's.
No. And I'm not so sure the worst of it is over either.
I know. Yeah. I have a couple of friends who, when I start to say what else can possibly happen, they tell me, stop. Just stop right there. Don't say it, because you're inviting, you know, you're inviting it. And it's like, no, okay, no, won't say it then, you know?
Yeah. Well, I was starting to think that, you know, fire season's kind of wrapping up. Maybe we, you know, maybe the world will look okay this year. Yeah.
Funny, I was thinking the same thing, that maybe it was going to be all California, you know, and poor California was biting it again, you know? Yeah. Wasn't going to be us. Yeah.
Not in the cards, though, boy. Not in the cards this year for us.
No.
Yeah. And then.
And I think that, I think Kate Brown's declared several places a state of emergency in Oregon now, just so that we can get the FEMA funding or whatever, you know, whatever's available.
Yeah. And that needs to happen pronto. Yeah.
Yep. But I mean, how do you even stop a fire like that? Right. I mean, I'm thinking, okay, so Medford, that whole area, that's a big valley. I mean, how do you stop that fire in a big valley with lots of buildings close to each other and everything dry? And I mean, how do you even stop it? Right. And then I'm thinking, okay, so it's jumped the tunnel. So now it's on the other side. So what's between us and that tunnel? Trees.
Yeah.
Lots of trees.
And a lot of area that burned in the Biscuit Fire that is, you know, perfectly burnable again. I mean, that was 20 years ago, you know.
Yeah, that happened before I even got here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had just gotten into town when the Biscuit Fire was going. Yeah. And so that's all ripe to burn again. And so, yeah, how do you fight a fire like that? And I was thinking today about how, I mean, I'm not a firefighter and don't really know a whole lot about it, but I would presume that there's a big difference between, you know, wildfire fighting and fire that is kind of amongst buildings and
structure.
You know, yeah, structures, right. and some kind of open areas, and then back to structures, and
right,
you know, their ability to, I would imagine they can't really attack it quite like they can a wildfire, right? I mean, you can't bring in, you know, whatever that newest like jumbo jet fire retardant dropper, you know. I was thinking about that.
I think I saw them dropping fire retardant.
Yeah. And they can just do it right over the city.
I saw them doing it.
Yeah.
Now, what they were over when they did it, I don't know, right? But seriously, if there are people underneath that, that wouldn't be fun to get fire retardant dropped.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
No, right?
Yeah. I know when the Czechobara fire was going on, you know, we were pulling firefighters from all over the country.
I know.
Okay. So, you know, there's a lot of fires going on. What is like the infrastructure of the wildfire firefighters nationwide, man? I don't know. You know, and how thin can you spread that one jar of peanut butter?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I think that there are already firefighters here from New Zealand and Australia and Israel. I think there's some here from Israel. And I don't mean, you know, right here, but, you know, over here on the West Coast fighting. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, of course, it's not just California. Even
right.
though that's where it was blowing up the worst, right? But it's also Washington State. I mean, they've got fires going on. It's just like, and I saw some pictures of Salem, and oh wow, I mean it's the you can't see. I mean, you know, the smoke is so thick, and I mean you can't see. And it's
I wondered, so I don't remember if I was even born yet when St. Helens went off, you know, would imagine, and the whole just, you know, sky is turning black and the ash raining down and all that. I'm sure there's places that would be experiencing something similar from the fire smoke.
I was out in the yard, you know, and I have to feed my caterpillars because they're hungry and they're in their fourth instar, I think, which means they're getting ready to go up to do the deal.
Yeah.
To do the J. In fact, I already have actually one that has J'd and I've got two that are climbing. So fingers crossed, but I went out to the bucket of milkweed and it's covered in ash. And this is not good. I mean, I gotta wash that off. That I can't have the caterpillars trying to eat milkweed and getting a mouthful of ash instead. That's not gonna work out. So yeah, I'm out there cleaning the milkweed off, right? I'm trying to get the ash off. And I figured, well, all right, while I'm out here, I'll just kind of spray the rest of everything, because I don't think plants can really breathe if they've got a coating of ash on them, right? I mean, there's no way to do that whole photosynthesis thing if they're covered in ash. So I don't know.
So you hosed them all down.
I hosed them all down. And then I thought, well, I'll go hose my car down too, because even though it doesn't have to breathe, still, I think that stuff is corrosive. I think ash is corrosive. Hmm. Maybe I'm making that up. I could be making that up.
It probably was covered again with ash, though, right about the time you were done hosing.
Not at that moment. However, no. I bet if I go out after this interview's over,
yeah, it is
covered again. Yeah,
I'm pretty.
Yeah, I know. It's and that's like. Although I remember during Chekhov, what was dropping out of the sky actually was hot, burning leaves.
Yeah, that was something, wasn't it?
That was scary. Because you know where they were coming from. The fire never got, I think the closest it got was like 5 miles away from us.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to remember now. I thought it was a little closer. But
well, let's say if it was even 3 miles away, that's still a long way for a burning leaf.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
To come, right? I mean, that's a long way. Yeah.
Yeah, man, that would just really be bad right now if we had another fire.
Please, not another one. I know. And I think about the people up on Cape Road, Jerry Lynn Thompson and Katrina, and they lost a lot during the Chekhov Bar fire. A lot of people up there lost a lot, and that. I have nothing in terms of PTSD compared to them, right?
Oh, right. Oh, I know. Yeah, I know. And I was embarrassed the first couple times I even mentioned that whole like, oh, it's bringing back memories, because I realized that, it was an inconvenience for me, really is all it was.
But it's a worry. It is. And when you see other people's belongings destroyed, you know what the capability is of that fire.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think it's very legitimate to be concerned.
Yeah. Fingers crossed and don't do anything stupid outside,
Right.
Yeah. Jeez.
Don't go to the shooting range right now. Please.
Yeah, don't be shooting any tannerite. Definitely no tannerite or black powder.
And please no gender reveal parties, right?
Oh yeah. Well, yeah, I heard about
Is
it a firework? Was it like a sparkler?
Some kind of a smoke thing. It was like gonna set off the color smoke, whether it was pink or blue.
Wow.
And something incinerated. I guess if it's like a firework that sets off smoke, that's a firework. Right?
Wow.
Right?
Yeah. All we ever did was, hey, guess what? It's a boy. Cool.
I know, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Hey, guess what? It's a girl this time. Cool. All right. Right on.
And you could pass out cigars and stuff and that's fine, but not light the cigars. Okay. Not when you're in fire season.
Oh man.
I know. And I had heard that, those people are looking at like millions of dollars of fines.
Oh boy. Yeah.
And for sure they don't have millions of dollars, right? I mean, come on.
So was it a boy or a girl?
I don't know.
Huh?
Because
that's interesting.
Insignificant.
Insignificant. Right. As it turns out, nobody cares. What they care about is the start of fire.
Exactly. Yeah. And that fire has grown to something like 70,000 acres. I mean, it's a bad one. I think it's the one in LA. I think it's in the suburb. I know, right? It's like, come on, people. We have to use our brains here.
Well, it's a crazy thing that it just all it takes is one of us. All it takes is one of us,
Yes.
There's about 12,000 people right around us, and all it takes is one of us.
just one doing just one not very smart thing.
Yeah.
Right? And it doesn't even have to be really stupid. It could just be not very smart.
Yeah, just a little, just a little negligent, and
just a little.
Yeah, without thinking, you know, man, and that would be a tough thing to live with if you were the one that started the fire.
Right.
So I don't want that. Yeah.
Me either. I think I'm going to stay home still. I think sheltering in place for COVID has got its upside.
I'm
just going to stay right here. Yeah, it's you were telling me before we started recording what you do when you're driving out somewhere and you're in brush and stuff that you actually check under your car.
Oh, yeah. Well, when I'm driving, you drive in gravel roads and get out of the roadway a little bit to like get out and take go to the bathroom is what I was going to say.
I knew what you were really going to say though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
How else does that sentence end?
Yeah. And you could have just said dot, dot, dot.
I was going to take a picture.
Perfect.
But well, leave the rig running or something and off the roadway is tall, dry grass. And so, I picked Checobar fire taught me that one. And so that stuck with me that, you pull over. And so I get back in the truck, I drive back on the gravel and look back and sit there for just a second and okay, no smoke, no fire.
And you're good.
Keep on going. Yeah. Just keep on going and don't throw all my cigarettes out the window. I don't smoke actually, but, just nothing stupid like that,
No. Because it only takes one little tiny thing.
Yeah.
And although the coming together of the community during a disaster is a wonderful thing and makes my heart go pit-a-pat, I really don't want the disaster.
Yeah. It's not a good way to see the best in people.
No.
We should be able to figure something else out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we're waiting to see what's going to happen with the fire. I mean, I'm not far away from my computer. checking it every 15 minutes or so. There are a couple of pages that Facebook pages that are real good for, there was a page that was set up back during the Checobar fire, and it was a Checobar fire help page or something like that. And it's still, you can still find it.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that.
And they update all kinds of information, disasters or, that kind of stuff. So they're definitely on top of the fire, especially the one that's jumped the tunnel.
So good news. I mean, we're all kind of used to wearing masks. So like that whole aspect of it.
Although I'm being told at this point that, you should up it to the N95 if you have it.
Really?
Yeah, because that's the only one that really protects from the smoke.
Huh.
Yeah. And interestingly enough, back in the Checobar fire, I ordered a bunch from Amazon because, obviously, right? You should be prepared. And so I had some, not many, but a few, when the whole COVID thing started. So I actually had like three or four N95 masks when couldn't get them for love or money. So,
well, there you go.
So I have one in my car, I keep one in my car just in case.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't know that about smoke, huh?
Yeah.
Only the N95.
Yeah, they're the ones that are actually the most effective. And I remember, I think it was the year after the Checobar fire. There was still a bunch of fires in Oregon the year after the Checobar fire, right? Didn't we?
Yeah.
There was another one.
Right.
Yeah, because I think my sister came in to visit, and I had to go over to Medford to pick her up at the airport, and the air quality in the valley was horrific. And I got about as far as Cave Junction before I needed to put the mask on because mm-hmm. you couldn't breathe. It was just, it was horrible.
Yeah. 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 When is that? I was wondering about Medford and like the airport and when flights would resume and all that jazz. Yep. Wow.
Yep. Yeah. Right. I mean, and it all depends on the fire. Like, is it done? Yeah. I mean, I saw where they thought they had it contained. And that was like an hour or so ago. So, you know, maybe, maybe it's contained. But you know, the problem is that there are so many of them over there right now that, you know, you contain one, but you know, then there's another one that just takes off and.
So, interesting times that we live in.
Yes. So you noticed the little green message up there?
The old Tom roping us in. Good old Tom.
Yep, saying, kids, you got to come in for dinner now.
Yeah, ringing the bell.
I know, I love that. I told you that my mom would just, you know, stand on the deck and yell for us, you know, when I was growing up. We'd be anywhere in the neighborhood. And that was, or my dad, he knew how to whistle with using his fingers, right?
Oh, yeah.
Stand up there and whistle, and you could hear him, you know, blocks away. So you always knew, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You don't see that too often anymore.
Nope. You really don't. You really don't. My grandparents lived on a dairy farm, and it was my favorite place to be. But they actually had a bell because they were out working in the field. So my grandmother would come out and that, you know, she'd ring that bell. It was like, wow.
The old school stuff. Yeah.
Really old.
Yeah. Back. Yeah.
Yep.
Good old days.
Oh, and you know, for me, they were, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Really, I know. We've talked about that. Yeah.
And there was no place I wanted to be except on the farm. So.
Yeah.
Well, it looks like we're out of time. So I guess I better wrap this up again. It's been great, Jake, as always.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It is always good. It's always good chatting with you.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, and thank you for being able to do this because, you know, I think it makes a difference. And we did have some more comments on the website about, you know, thanking us for doing this and it being good. So, you know, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I want to encourage everybody else to build some bridges of your own. It does take being willing to change the conversation from I'm right and you're wrong to maybe both of us have a perspective that makes sense in different ways. And let's see if we can work towards some consensus. It is work, and some of us don't like work, but it's some of the most worthwhile work that I've done. So I hope that you will all join us next week for another show. And meanwhile, you know, be kind to each other because you never know what kind of a burden somebody's carrying. So be nice.
There you go. Amen to that.
Right? Right?
Yep.
Be nice to people. And this is Candace Michelle and Jake Pieper for Building Bridges. Thanks a lot. See you next week.